Well, good morning, everyone. It is so light. Listen, 9 a.m. was really lively, so I know that this was going to be super lively, and I think it's the sunshine is really getting to us. The veil is lifting, and we're just so excited to be alive. Well, hey, if I have not had the opportunity to meet you yet, my name is Andrea, and I'm the pastor of praise and worship here at Mountain View, and we just want to say good morning. We're glad you're here today. We have so many amazing things that are happening today. The first is, it's Baptism Sunday, so in case you're wondering what this is, we currently have 7 on the docket. And I know the Holy Spirit's going to move today, so there could be more than that. We're ready and we're willing for all that. And we are starting a new series today all about the Holy Spirit. And so what I'm going to ask us to do is I'm going to ask us to stand. We're going to learn a new song together today where we are going to call in the name of the Holy Spirit together, all right? And we're asking for a move of God, which can only come through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so I'm not going to teach it to you in terms of like, we're going to learn something right now. Like, I'm not going to sing it to you. We're just going to sing it together. And I have confidence you guys will catch on because it's very simple. And we get to tell the Holy Spirit, like, we are ready for you to come. We're desperate for you to come and do the work that only you can do. All right? So let's praise.
We need a move of God.
So, Father, that is our prayer this morning. Would you send your Holy Spirit? Open up our hearts to follow, to see where you're leading us. Let us align with where your Spirit is going. So, Holy Spirit, we give you this morning. Come and do what only you can do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
There's nothing worth more than will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, when my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. There's nothing worth more. Tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, when my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord.
So we sing out, Holy Spirit, you're welcome. Come on, every voice.
And Holy Spirit, you are welcome. And fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness.
One more time, let us become.
Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness, Lord.
And so, God, we recognize your presence in us and in the room around us this morning. God, I'm grateful that you have given us the gift of your presence in us and the Holy Spirit. And God, as we gather this morning, we are expectant that you are on the move, that he is on the move in our lives, and that, God, you desire and want transformation in us today. And so, God, may our time together today honor you and move us and empower us to be your ambassadors as you walk with us in the week to come. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Hey, if you haven't met me before, my name is Craig. I am the discipleship pastor here at Mountain View, and I get most weeks to help you make a connection in a greater way, either with our church or with what God is doing in our community around us. And today I'm going to focus in on what God is doing in our midst here in our church. Every single Sunday, we get the opportunity to come alongside families as they raise their kids, both physically and spiritually, up in the Lord. You may not know it as you are in this room, but we get every Sunday to take care of spiritually 50 to 60 kindergarten or nursery through fifth grade kids, and that grows on a monthly basis, which I'm very excited about, that we get that opportunity to partner with families and with God. That also means that we have a need for a host of folks that would help make that happen. And one of the ways that you can connect with us is to consider being one of those host of people that are coming alongside our families. And so one of the ways we do that is through an opportunity that Lisa, our children's director, is going to provide in a couple of Sundays. And so May 17th, we're going to have what we call a kids ministry preview. This Sunday is the 3rd. Next Sunday is the 10th. So that's Mother's Day. Just putting it out there. Then the next Sunday after that is kids ministry preview. It's the 17th. Lisa's going to meet with whoever would feel like maybe the Holy Spirit's nudging me to take a look at kids ministry. And so they're going to meet in the fireside room at 10:30, going to hear vision from Lisa, and then going to get to do a walk around and see what kids ministry is all about and see where, you know, I like to do this or I feel like I'm gifted in that area. Is there a way that we can partner and connect those two things together? And Lisa says very clearly and wants us to say very adamantly, it is a no strings attached preview. Now, what the Holy Spirit does in that time, we don't have any control over. But from us, it's really a no pressure. Just come and check it out. So if you are feeling, yes, Bob, thank you. If you're feeling the nudge or feeling a tug to do that, there is a QR code up behind me on the screen. You can also go to our website, mvcclive.com. And then if you are with us in the room and we don't know who you are, or if you're online with us and we don't know that you're with us, man, there is, on our website, if you scroll down the front page, there is a red block. If in the room, there are some cards in front of you. There's a tall red card. It's our Connect card. And, man, I would love to meet you today. I am out at the Next Steps table after church. And I'd love you to stop by, hand me that red card, say welcome, introduce you, and talk to you a little bit about Mountain View. Thanks.
Well, how's everybody doing? You guys are usually a little bit more rambunctious than that. Not that I'm inviting it, just was saying. You're a little bit more wild and crazy, but hey, that's good. A little hot outside, is that the issue? Everybody's a little warm? Yeah. Hey, good to see you. We have just a little bit of church family business to take care of, and so if you're guests with us today, you're going to be like, oh goodness, here it is, right? But I just need to cover a couple of things because we are in our fiscal year budget planning season, and if you've been around Mountain View, you're thinking, oh yeah, here it is again. If you're newer to Mountain View, you're thinking, oh, this is new and exciting. That's what I thought. Exactly. You know, so as I wrote in my all church email this past Friday, you know, reading through 2 Corinthians chapter 9, I think there's some real valuable lessons that come to us. And we're reminded that generosity actually flows from gratitude. And what I have found to be true is grateful people are usually your most generous people. And on the flip side, some of your most tight people sometimes aren't necessarily very grateful people. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
Unless I just offended you because you're not grateful. But anyway, here's what I would say to you. First and foremost, thank you. Thank you to those of you at Mountain View who are invested financially. Your faithfulness is making a significant difference. We didn't know for sure how we were going to do coming out of COVID, right? As everybody. And 2003, I feel like we were out, and every year we've just seen continued growth, continued life change. Our kids' numbers continue to increase. And really, that's because of your generosity. But there's a problem. And here's the problem. It's going to sound good, but really it's something that we need to address, because 25% of our income comes from 12 families in our church. The second 25% of our income comes from 24 families of our church. That means 36 families provide half of our church's income, which is fantastic and such a blessing, unless one of them moves permanently, forever, if that makes sense. And so then on the backside of that, 144 families cover the other half of our income. In other words, half of the income comes from 36 families, the other half, 144 families. And so to those who are carrying the weight, I just want to say thank you. Don't stop. Your generosity is making a significant difference, and thank you for that. But it also shows us something, that there's room for many of us to step into this practice of generosity. And so for those of you who aren't giving, I really just want to invite you over the next 4 or 5 weeks to really pray and consider what God might be inviting you into. For those of you who give occasionally, I would invite you to grow in that. And those of you who continue to lead in generosity, thank you. Don't stop. Keep going. Here's why. Where we're headed matters. I mean, you heard it. We believe that God's going to raise up 26 new kids ministry volunteers in 2026. Why? Because that's just the beginning. We're going to need another 27 in 2027. Right? Because we really do have it on our heart that we can reach 300 kids in our community in the next 3 years. We just really believe that. Yeah. And so the good things are happening, and people are being impacted because of your kindness and your generosity. So here's what I'll say, because I've got too much other stuff to say. There's a card in the chair, in the back of the chair in front of you. This is just our budget planning card. And a lot of people say, why do you do this? This is why we do this. It's easier to know what our income is so we can plan our expenses, right? Like if your boss said, hey, I want you to come work for us, but we're not going to really tell you how much you're going to make, that's going to be difficult to plan. So we just say, let's ask our church what they plan on giving this next year so we can plan accordingly and see what God's going to do. If you want to ask me directly, we hope to raise and increase our general fund $60,000 this year. And I know that there are people in this room, honestly, who could probably write a $60,000 check and not bat an eye. Some of you are like, not me, right? And this is what I'd say. If you want to do that, come talk to me. I'd love for you to do that. No, I'm kidding. There is value in all of us doing a little bit, because when we all do a little bit, it's amazing to see what God can accomplish. And I'm blown away by the small things and how God leverages small things in such an impactful way. So enough of that. Thanks for listening. We are starting our series. It's a 4 or 5 week series. I don't even know. On the Holy Spirit. And here's what I would tell you. We live in a time where people are very open to spirituality. Now, it's a relative word, but you hear people talking all the time about energy. You know, I just need this energy, the vibes, or even karma, manifesting or aligning or tapping into some sort of higher thing, higher power. And this is what I would say. If we're not careful, we can bring that same kind of thinking in our understanding of who God is. He is not a power we tap into. He just isn't. And so what we need to do is, even in the church, many people they start to look at the Holy Spirit as this force that we can plug into, or this force that we can access, this force that we can gain something from, instead of a person to get to know. And so the Holy Spirit is not a ghost. He is not this mystical being floating around the universe. He's not this power we tap into when we just need a little bit of help. The Holy Spirit is God. He is personal. He's God's personal presence with us. And this is what I love. Scripture gives us this incredible imagery, this powerful word picture for trying to understand the Holy Spirit and understand Him. And it's simply this. It's breath. While I've been talking, you've been
breathing.
I hope. All right, that would make an awkward church gathering. But you, as I've been talking, you've been breathing. In both the Old Testament and the New Testament, the word spirit can mean breath or wind. This isn't accidental, I don't think. It tells us something about who He is. The Holy Spirit is the very breath of God. He is the life of God given to us to sustain us. And if we misunderstand this, then we run the risk of just trying to use the Holy Spirit instead of learning how to live with Him. And so I've got a couple of passages I want us to look at. John chapter 16 is the first one. It says this, "But I have said these things to you," Jesus talking to His disciples, "that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to Him who sent me, and none of you ask me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. And when He comes, He will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the rule of this world is judged." And so this is Jesus. Jesus is with His disciples. He's having a conversation with His disciples. And He says to His disciples something very shocking. Jesus says, "It's better for me to leave." And you have to imagine this. Most of these disciples have been following Jesus, living with Him. They've ate together. They've spent time together. They've journeyed together. They have seen the miracles together. They have been together this entire time. And Jesus says to them, "It's better for me to go." They've been with Jesus every single day, talked with Him, watched Him, learned from Him. And Jesus says, "It's better for me to leave." Why? Because the Holy Spirit is not less than Jesus. He's not a replacement for Jesus. He is God Himself present with His people and in His people. And so the Holy Spirit speaks and the Holy Spirit leads and teaches and convicts and comforts. The Holy Spirit, first and foremost, is a person, not just a power. And we have to wrap our head around this, because we cannot have a relationship with a force. You can't. We can only have a relationship with a person. And this is where so many of us, especially if we grew up in our tradition and in church, we get stuck, because we ask the Holy Spirit things like, "Give me the power to do something." Or we say something like, "Holy Spirit, would you come and just fix this problem?" Or we say to the Holy Spirit, "Would you just go do this for me? Would you go take care of this for me?" But we rarely ask the Holy Spirit to say something like, "Would you lead me in this?" Or how many of us like change? So we say to the Holy Spirit, "Would you change me? Would you change this in me? Would you speak to me?" And the Holy Spirit isn't something we use. The Holy Spirit is something that we yield to. And so instead of trying to access Him, we hope over the next few weeks to learn how to walk with Him, just like breathing, just like breath is constant, just like breath is near, just like breath is life-giving and sustaining, continually giving us life. We want to learn how to walk with the Holy Spirit in this way. And so the Holy Spirit has always been present. I want us to know that. This is historical information for you because the Holy Spirit has always, always been around. The Holy Spirit didn't show up in the book of Acts chapter 2 for the first time. The Holy Spirit was here from the very beginning. As a matter of fact, you can open Genesis chapter 1 and it says the Spirit was hovering over the waters like wind. And the Spirit was participating with God in bringing order out of the chaos, creating life out of nothing. And then in Genesis chapter 2, humanity is formed from dust. And guess what God does to give them life? He breathes. This is beautiful and intentional because life begins when God breathes. And throughout the Old Testament, he empowers leaders, he empowers prophets and kings, and he showed up in these very specific moments in the lives of people to accomplish very specific things. But the Holy Spirit, he was never absent. He was always active. But then there's this shift in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, the Spirit would come upon people temporarily, but in the beginning of Acts chapter 2, we see that the Holy Spirit in the New Testament comes down to dwell within God's people permanently. And so on the day of Pentecost, which Eric preached so well last week for us, everything changes. God doesn't just visit, he moves in. Look at this, Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing, what? There it is. You guys are quick learners. That was great. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so here we are in Acts chapter 2. God moves in. And how does God move in? How does it happen? It happens with a mighty rushing wind. This isn't random imagery for us. I mean, it sounds cool, and man, it would be great to be there or whatever, but this is very intentional. The same breath that brought life into humanity in Genesis chapter 2 is now filling God's people and dwelling in God's people. It goes on in verse 5. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews. They were devout men from every nation under heaven, and at the sound, the multitude came together, and they were all bewildered because each of them were speaking about God in their own language. They were amazed and astonished. They were saying, aren't these people just Galileans? How is it we hear each of us in his own native language? And you could read down, it says, we hear them telling in our own language, our own tongues, the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others thought, huh, they're just drunk. So God moves in. That's what we see in Acts chapter 2. The Spirit doesn't just visit for this moment of empowerment. He comes to move in and dwell in his people. He moved from above us to be with us in Jesus, but then he moves into us. This is not Acts chapter 2, a symbolic moment. This is a permanent change in how God is going to relate to his people. And when it happens, people are confused, and some people are going to say, we can't explain it, so let's try to explain it this way. They're just drunk. And this happens. When things spiritually happen around us or in us or with us, we try to explain it in very natural terms. All the time. We do it today. We reduce the Holy Spirit down to this feeling of worship. And this is what I would say about this. I've had some conversations with people intentionally kind of doing some research study to see what people think about the Holy Spirit. And often we will reduce the Holy Spirit down to this moment where I felt something, where I sensed something. And all of that is true, but it can get really messed up, especially in the church, when we are such creatures of habit where we like our preferences to be fulfilled. So I felt the Holy Spirit today because we sang songs I like. But then when we don't sing songs you like, the Holy Spirit wasn't there today. I mean, I'm really keeping this surface level, but this is true. Or I go to this retreat, or I go to this camp, or I have this moment, or this song really impacted me, and all of a sudden, I know God is there. And it's very true. It's very true. I don't want to diminish that. But we can't make the encounter with the Holy Spirit something as just an emotional moment or this response to a song. The Holy Spirit isn't an atmosphere. I love the songs that we sing, but sometimes they're incomplete. We're trying to put some sort of tangible understanding to all of this. The Holy Spirit is the living presence of God in us. He is the breath of God living and active in us. Actually, 1 John says this in chapter 4, verse 13. By this we know that we abide in him and he abides in us because he has given us his, what? Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him. God moves in, God lives in him, and he lives in God. And this means that if any of us in this room belong to God, then the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, dwells in us. It doesn't mean that he comes to visit us. It doesn't mean he occasionally shows up. He lives in us. He lives in me and he lives in you, the very breath of God in you and the very breath of God in me. And this changes everything. It means we're never alone. And it means that we're not ever spiritually lifeless. It means that we're never disconnected from him, that we're never without some sort of direction, that we're never without some sort of conviction, we're never without his presence. And so the question we ask has to change. Because the question we're asking is the Holy Spirit present? Is he present? We need to start asking, am I paying attention? Am I paying attention? These verses are in the middle of John's explanation of what it looks like to be a disciple of Jesus, what the evidence is of having the Holy Spirit dwell in someone. And the answer is our love for God and our love for others. Besides love, what evidence is there that we know the Spirit dwells in them? And I think we ask the question too often, how do I know the Holy Spirit is working in my life? And I actually hope you're asking that question. And I think there's times that we look for some sort of external evidence, something real dramatic, something really visible, but Scripture points us inward. The primary evidence of the Holy Spirit is life transformation. It's our lives begin to change. And here's how you're going to know the Holy Spirit's dwelling in you. Are you ready for this?
Yep.
Thanks, Mary. It's good. You all woke up. All of a sudden, our desires begin to change. The things that used to be really important to me aren't quite as important to me anymore. And I start to wonder, why don't I get worked up about that like I used to? Why is it that this thing starts to bother me, but that doesn't bother me anymore? Our desires begin to change. Our sensitivity to sin increases. I mean, it may not be a big deal, but all of a sudden we're in the habit of doing these things or thinking these things or saying these things or whatever. All of a sudden we have a sensitivity that might not be the best of me. And our sensitivity to sin increases. Our awareness of God begins to grow. We start to acknowledge, whoa, how did that happen? We start to see the movement of God in different ways than we've normally seen. And not just that, but our hunger for truth and our hunger for righteousness and our hunger for justice and our hunger for peace will increase and deepen as the Spirit moves in. It's like learning to notice our breathing. How many of you have kept real track of how many times you breathe since I've been talking? No, we don't create the air we breathe, but we certainly are aware of the air we breathe. Maybe not when we're breathing, but we're certainly aware when we're not for a few moments. We can't manufacture the Holy Spirit's work, the Spirit of God in us. And so therefore, the Holy Spirit is a person. And if he is a person, then our goal is not to control. It's relationship. And our relationship with him deepens. How does it deepen? When we listen. He's always talking. But it's not just about listening. We also have to respond. How many of you have ever had this moment where you saw something and that something wasn't quite right and you felt like you were supposed to do something about it, but you kept walking away and didn't, but all day long you couldn't shake that you should have done something? Yep. Anybody? Yep. Holy Spirit. We listen to that intuition, that nudge. We respond to it, but we can't just respond to it. We actually have to obey it. And the more we listen, the more we respond, and the more we obey, the better we will be at this relationship thing with the Holy Spirit. We find the Holy Spirit will prompt us to speak at times, but more often the Holy Spirit might tell us to be quiet. The Holy Spirit will often prompt us to check our attitudes, sometimes redirect our direction and where we're headed and our decisions at times. And by the way, let me warn you, the Holy Spirit isn't often loud. Just like breathing isn't often loud. His voice is steady, like breathing. Quiet, constant. Often speaking with a quiet nudge or a conviction or a little push that we can't shake or a sense that something's right or something's wrong. And as we practice listening and responding and obeying, the better we get at recognizing his voice. I promise you, you'll get really good at this. I remember when Sarah learned that she was going to have a child, I kind of freaked out a little bit. I thought, I have zero business being a dad. I didn't have a dad. I didn't have good dad examples. And I thought, God, you've got this one wrong. And so I began a journey. And I remember part of that journey was shaking some of what I understood the power of the Holy Spirit being. And learning how to hear his voice, to respond to his voice, and then to obey his voice. And listen, it's still a journey. But I promise you, you will get really good at this and you will learn along the way and you will recognize his voice, because the Holy Spirit is not a force. He's not something we just tap into when life gets hard. He's not just some fancy accessory to our faith. He is God. He is present. He is active. He is alive in me and he is alive in you. And the same Spirit who was there in the very beginning, the same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead, who filled the room in Acts chapter 2, is the exact same Holy Spirit who dwells in you and me today. And this isn't about trying harder or being more spiritual. This is about being more aware and being more responsive to the voice of the Holy Spirit and more understanding, which requires me to surrender. And I would argue that more times than not, the reason we can't hear the Holy Spirit is because we have a surrender problem. I like to be in control. Don't you?
Absolutely.
Yes. Yes. So let me just say this. We want people in East County to not just use the Holy Spirit. We want to be led by the Holy Spirit. We don't want to harness the Holy Spirit. We want to surrender to him. And so here's what we're going to invite you to do over the next couple of weeks. We're just going to encourage you and challenge you with one next step. And here's what we're going to practice. We're going to practice silence. How many of you like silence? And how many of you do not like silence? Yes. Well, we're going to practice silence. Turning down the noise. When I was driving back and forth to the hospital this fall, something happened with my car electronic display. And anytime the radio was on, it would just shut down. And I thought, oh, I bet that's an expensive fix. How long that's going to take to get fixed? But what happened is I just enjoyed the silence. It's still broken. I don't know if I'm going to fix it. Because when you're riding in the car, this is a great opportunity in the silence for God to speak. To hear the Holy Spirit. We're going to try stillness. How many of you like to be still? How many of you do not like to be still? Here's the question. How many of you are okay going to the grocery store thinking, man, I hope I encounter a bunch of people I know so I can talk to them and I can enjoy life and I can meet new people? Anybody? If your hand is up, then you probably enjoy stillness, but if you're more of the person who says, I want to get in there and I want to get out and I hope nobody sees me, I don't know that stillness is in your repertoire, right? My boys make fun of me because sometimes they make a bet if we go to like the farmer's market or something, they're like, five. I bet Dad sees five people he knows. And then the other one will be like, no, eight. Or whatever the number is. And then I walk up, I'm like, oh, you know, hey, Wayne. And they're like, one. Like, guy's being rude, right? Hey, Freddie, two. These are great moments to practice stillness where you're just saying, hey, I'm going to enter this space and there's people in this space and God, I want to see what you have for me. We're going to practice stillness. We're going to ground everything in Scripture. And the reason we're going to is because the Holy Spirit will never ask you to do something that's not verified or clarified with Scripture. We're going to practice prayer. Not just I'm going to go to God and pray because I'm supposed to at mealtime, but this ongoing conversation where, Holy Spirit, we're listening to you. Because you can't follow a voice we never slow down to listen to. We just can't. And some of us are living as if God is far from us, that he's distant, or we're waiting and begging God to give us a sign or this moment or this breakthrough. We're wishing that Jesus would just show up and physically fix all of our problems or fix what's broken. But Jesus says, it's better that I leave you because the Spirit is coming. And the truth is, God is not far away. God is not silent. He is not absent. He is with you. God is in you and he is speaking. And some of you today, my prayer has been that you would receive this truth. You would receive this truth. You cannot experience the indwelling of the Spirit outside of surrendering to Jesus. It's in our surrendering that the Spirit comes and dwells. And the call is so simple. Repent, believe, be baptized. We're going to have some baptisms here in a few moments. But go all in for Jesus. Receive this gift of the Holy Spirit. For others, it's recognizing. Today, you need to recognize you already have the Holy Spirit, but you've been ignoring his voice. Or his voice just gets lost with all the other noise we're listening to. Maybe you can say, Holy Spirit, help me recognize what you're saying. Help me recognize, help me hear. For all of us, here's my challenge to you. 5 minutes a day. That's all I'm asking. 5 minutes a day this week, practice 5 minutes of silence. And some of you went, yes, praise God. And others of you just went, there's no way. I can't do that. But this is the challenge for all of us. Create 5 minutes of silence. You know somebody will like silence if you live with them. They're like, Pastor Tom said, give me 5 minutes. All right? But seriously, just practice silence for 5 minutes this week. Open the Scriptures if you can and say, God, what are you saying to me through the power of your Holy Spirit? And when you sense that nudge to do something or to change something or to think something different, obey it. Can we all do this week? Yeah, you can try. Every time we breathe today, every time, we didn't think about it. It was just there. Every time you breathe today, it was sustaining you and keeping you alive. That's the promise. That's the promise. He's not waiting for us to get spiritual enough to access the Holy Spirit. He's already there. And what I love at Mountain View, because we practice this every week, is communion, where we eat the bread and we drink the juice from the cup. It's a reminder of how we got there. And this is the reminder, because we just talked about breath. God is moving from above us to being with us to being in us. And this bread and this cup is something that Jesus gave us to be a physical reminder of exactly him being with us so that the greater one could come and be in us. And so the bread and the cup, these aren't symbolic of an absent Jesus. He's not absent. They're a declaration today that he is here and he is in us through his Spirit. And so at Mountain View, we have a table set up here, one back here, one over here, and one up in the balcony. And the bottom cup is a piece of bread, and the top cup is a cup of juice. Eat the bread and drink the juice, and remember it was Jesus' body that was broken for you and his blood poured out for you. You're free to go.
Thank you.
we're getting ready to have all the people who have said yes to Jesus come on out here. And as we're getting ready for that, there's two things that I want from us right now. The first is, if you're sitting down and you're ready to witness this, let's say a little prayer for all the people who are saying yes to Jesus, that this is the first step in their journey of discipleship, that this is not the end of it. This is the beginning of every moment living it for Jesus. And I have a feeling that there's a nudge that has happened in this room, and the Holy Spirit is telling you to say yes and to get baptized today. Whether or not you signed up, we have the ability to do it. We have shirts for you. We have shorts for you. We have towels. Everything logistically you could need to be able to say yes to Jesus, we have you covered. And so what you can do is, there's someone probably sitting next to you who would love to have a conversation about baptism. And if not, once Pastor Craig comes out on the pier, you can talk to him or you can talk to anybody about getting baptized today. Because right now we started with four. I'll tell you what, this morning we started with four baptisms. And today, now we're at seven, possibly more, because we had a breakdown of communication somewhere where I had a number and Brenna had a number, and we don't know if we overlap at all. So there's at least seven that are planned that are happening today. And if you're ready to say yes to Jesus, today is the day. Don't say no to the Holy Spirit, act in obedience. And so as we are getting this room ready for them to enter here, we're going to sing over them, and we're going to sing over the Holy Spirit to come and fill this room.
As the Spirit was moving over the water, Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. As the Spirit was moving over the water, Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. Come down, Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you fill me. Come down, Spirit, when you move, make my heart pound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you're moving. I'm here and I know you'll fill me. Oh, As the Spirit was moving over the water, Spirit, come move over us.
Ready to get someone in the water? We're nearly there. I think we're ready right here.
I got it. Everybody, this is Jackson. This is my second youngest son. I've had the blessing of baptizing all of my children. But Jackson, do you accept Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior?
Yes.
And you're prepared to live by his teachings and try your best to set an example for other followers?
Yes.
All right. By your confession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you'll fill me.
Hey, this is Sean. He's chosen to be baptized today. Sean, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God?
Totally.
You believe that he died and defeated death?
You know that he did. And I know that he did.
On that confession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
So calm down, Spirit, when you move, you make my heart count. When you're in the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you'll fill me. Calm down, Spirit, when you move, you make my heart count. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you'll fill me.
Hello, this is Ray, and he is definitely chosen to be baptized today. So you believe that Jesus is the Son of God?
Yes.
You believe that he died and conquered death?
I do, yeah.
Sitting at the right hand of God?
I do, yeah.
You commit to following him?
Yes.
A little better than yesterday?
A little better than yesterday, yes.
Every day?
Yep.
On that confession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
We're on?
All right.
This is Eric. And Eric absolutely mimicked Pastor Tom's message this morning. He's listened to the Holy Spirit has been nudging him. And it's been such an honor to see his growth. And when he was up at the stage, the Holy Spirit got a hold of him a couple weeks ago. And he just cried out. And so when he asked if he'd be baptized, said, by all means, he'd be baptized. So Eric, let me ask. If you ask, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God?
Yes, I do.
Yes, I do. Have you invited Jesus into your heart as your...
Yes, I have.
Yes, I have. Okay. By the confession of your faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
That Jesus Christ is the Son of God and died on the cross for your sins.
Yes.
With your confession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Christ is the Son of God and died on the cross for your sins.
Yes.
By your confession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
So calm down, Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you're moving. I'm here and I know you'll fill me. Calm down.
Good morning, church. Ooh, y'all ready? Okay. I have a really special, beautiful, amazing... No, I'm gonna get emotional.
I know.
Privilege this morning. I gotta tell you guys, listen, every morning our teams that are serving on Sundays gather for a huddle. We pray, we set our intention for the day, we say, God, we expect you to do really big things. And today we came in this room and we put our hands on this baptismal and we prayed, Lord, Holy Spirit, move. Move in people's hearts, right? And if somebody's feeling the nudge to get baptized today, would they respond? So Armani responded. She sent me a text message literally while we were praying. So we were praying, and now a whole family is getting ready to say yes to Jesus today. So Armani is just ready for new life, okay? She's ready for freedom. She's ready to turn her life over to Jesus. So Armani, do you believe that Jesus is God's son?
I do. Yes, I do.
Do you believe that he died to give you new life?
Yes.
And you profess that you want to live with him and for him and figure out why he created you and do all the things that he has for you?
Yes, I do.
Okay, then I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All right, y'all, this is Terry. This is Armani's brother. All right. Terry's been having a dream that he's got this really, really heavy backpack on his back and he's trying to get up this hill and he cannot get up the hill. And he wants to get up that hill. He's ready to move and live his life for Jesus. And so this is the moment when he's gonna throw off all those burdens because they were never his to carry. They were never yours to carry. You ready for that new life? Okay. Do you believe that Jesus is God's son?
Yeah.
And do you believe that he died on the cross to take that burden so that you can live your life for him and in him?
Yes.
Okay. Then upon your confession, I'm going to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Terry's son, Javarier. Y'all are way tall. I needed a step stool today. Javarier is in the same situation. He's ready to live his life differently. He's ready for new life. He's ready to find out all the things that God has for him. Is that accurate?
Yeah.
All right. So do you believe that Jesus is God's son?
Yes.
Do you believe that he died on the cross for your sins so that you could live in him?
Yes.
Upon your confession of faith, I'm going to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Move forward a little bit.
So come down, Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will fill me. Come down, Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you'll fill me.
Okay, this is Terry's wife, Jeannie. Jeannie was sharing with me before we came in here, somewhere along the line she had this idea of she had to kind of get things all cleaned up before she came to Jesus. And that's not true. We said he loves you, exactly the way you are today. And he died for you, and he'll die for you again exactly the way you are today. And he created you on purpose, you, Jeannie, and he created you for a purpose. And after today, you're going to be open to living that life for Jesus, right?
Yes.
Okay. So do you believe that Jesus is God's son?
Yes.
And do you believe that he died on the cross for all your sins, for your whole life?
Yes.
Upon your confession of faith, I will baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay.
So calm down, Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill a room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you feel me. Calm down, Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill a room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you'll feel me.
All right, we have another one. She is getting changed and we'll be here in a moment. But listen, at Mountain View, we talk about this all the time. Anybody can belong. Anybody. And you don't have to have it all figured out first. That's a natural theme of what God's doing with us today, reminding us that you don't have to be perfect. Any perfect people actually aren't welcome at Mountain View. All right, so if you're perfect, don't come back next week because you'll ruin us, all right? We are people just trying to fumble through it and get it figured out. But if God's moving, practice today obeying, responding and obeying. And so, come on in. Oh, Leah, this is a surprise. This is cool. Kind of cool.
This is Leah. How exciting. You believe that Jesus is the Son of God?
Yes.
You believe he died and defeated death?
Yes.
You believe he's at the right hand of God right now?
Yes.
You're going to commit your life to God from this day forward? Try to do better than yesterday?
Every day.
Here we go on that. I baptize you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
So even though Tom already just said it, someone in this room is feeling the nudge from the Holy Spirit, and we want to get Tom back in the baptismal. So somebody come say yes to the Holy Spirit and come talk to Tom over here. He wants to get in there with you. I know that there's a stirring in this room, and there's someone who's got to be obedient to where the Holy Spirit is leading, because he's already done it today 3 times, 4 times over, 5 times, I don't know. But there's a stirring that's happening, and we want to create space for it. And so if you feel it, he's right there. Tom and Craig are over here ready to have a conversation. But we're, as a community, going to continue to respond. So I want to invite you to stand, and we're going to continue singing over this day, right? Let's sing out Holy Spirit.
And Holy Spirit, come rest on us. You're all we want. You're all.
So fire and wind, come and do it again. Open up the
for you to do whatever you want to do whatever you want to, and I will make room for you to do whatever you want to do whatever you want to. This is my surrender. This is my surrender. Here is where I lay it down. Every lie and every doubt. This is my surrender. And I will make room for you to do whatever you want to do whatever you want. And I will make room for you to do whatever you want to do whatever you want to. And I will make room, I will make room for you to do whatever you want to do whatever you want to. And I will make room for you, yeah, to do whatever you want to do whatever you want to.
And so, dear Heavenly Father, we just do that. We make room for you. We can see today that our joy and celebration for you is on top. And so, Lord, keep us there. Keep us going. Sustain us. Move us. Do the things that, like, we can't even expect you to do, because we have no idea what happens when we just let your Holy Spirit overcome us, fuel us. And Lord, we want to see East County changed. And so, Lord, just do what you can do through each and every one of these people here today. Lord, we thank you for these people who decided to get baptized today. Lord, they're yours. They're part of our family. And we thank you. And we continue to just pray that you will do the work that needs to be done, and that more people next time will feel that nudge, Lord, and that they will come to you. Lord, we thank you. We make room for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Man, Baptism Sunday! Woo! It's always on Baptism Sunday. I just can't help but feel the emotions and just feel the Holy Spirit moving and doing. And I saw generational change chains being broken. I saw new people saying, yeah, like, I see you, I see it, I feel it, and I'm ready for this next step. And so, man, I love Baptism Sunday. And so just a reminder to be continuing to pray for the people who got baptized today. This wasn't the end. It wasn't the last thing. It's the beginning. And so continue to pray for every single person who got baptized. And if you see them, encourage them. And so welcome. Welcome to the family, those of you that got baptized. I can't see you, but I know there's a couple. And then for the rest of us, for everybody here, our big takeaway today is find that time. God matters. Do we believe that? Do we believe that he matters to the point that we're going to give him, like, a mere 5 minutes? We're not asking much. He's not even asking much. But can we give him 5 minutes every day forever, right? But we're asking you to just participate 5 minutes a day for the rest of the week. Can we do that? Yeah. Imagine what will happen when each of us take the time and sit and ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Like, do you guys feel it? Yeah. Are you ready for it? I don't even think you guys even know what to be ready for, but I feel it, and I'm really excited. So sit with just sit in those moments and ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you. And then on May 7th, I just want to remind you that we're going to have a city day of prayer, and so we're partnering with other churches, and they're going to start at Rise, and we're going to end at East Hill. And so there are some pieces of paper that kind of, like, give some maps and some different things, and also give this schedule that you see behind me. And so I just encourage you, they're at the Next Steps table, pick one up and join us for a city day of prayer. We want to see East County change. We want to see Jesus moving. And part of that, big part of that, is what? Prayer. Mary's got it. Yeah. And so join us for a city day of prayer. And then if you are new with us, or you've been thinking about taking a next step, you want to know a little bit more about Mountain View, I encourage you, there's a connect card in the back of the chairs. It's red. Fill that out, and then you can take it to Pastor Craig. He'll be at our Next Steps table in the foyer on the right-hand side. He'd love an opportunity to say hello, welcome to Mountain View, and answer any questions you may have about who we are. So thank you all for being here. Have a great rest of your Sunday.